now, but our leadership team is inviting you to join us on a 21-day Daniel fast. And of course, it's by far best to give you about a 30-day notice if you're going to have a 21-day fast, because there's scheduling, family issues, domestic issues. It's just really hard to make this happen, so I apologize for that. And I'll tell you in a minute why we're going forward with it anyway. But some of you, you would say, hey, you know, I can't get this thing ready by tomorrow. I have too many things that are going on, but I could start a week from Monday, a week from tomorrow, and do the final 14 days with you. And another point I want to mention is that if you do jump in with this, and so many are responding and they want to do this, and you have a really important family event like a wedding or an anniversary celebration sort of thing, I would encourage you just to continue on with that thing as planned and the meal that goes along with it sort of thing. I'm not talking about a few guys getting together just to have a coffee and have a sandwich. You can maybe fast that kind of stuff. But I'm talking about something really important. I would encourage you, just because of the late notice, to go ahead and continue with that. Paragraph B, the reason this happened is that it just occurred to me Thursday, just a couple days ago. So I'm preparing for my Daniel End Time Intensive on the book of Daniel, which I'll be teaching 10 sessions August 29th at the end of the month. So I'm taking this next near 4 weeks to really lock in to write the syllabus and all the notes. And it's really exciting time for me because I love this book and I love this truth. And it just occurred to me as I was like searching out Daniel's fourth vision in Daniel chapter 10, the passage we're looking at, which is the longest and most detailed vision in the whole Bible in terms of the end of the age. And it just dawned on me, the man that God gave the longest and most detailed open vision about how the planet is going to transition to the age to come. I mean, that's a pretty big subject, right? The planet transitioning to the age to come in the time of the millennium and the resurrection. Well, Daniel chapter 10, God tells a man, gives him insight into the situation of that transition. Well, he was on a 21-day fast when that happened. And the Lord broke in, an angel did, and revealed these things to Daniel. Well, as I was just studying it and thinking about it, I thought, why should I be studying and asking for insight on this vision that a man received after a 21-day fast, unless I'm going to go on a 21-day fast and be in that same spirit of dedication? Because really what a fasting time is, when we fast food and we draw back from normal, regular, God-ordained activities in our normal, everyday life, a fasting is a time of a heightened dedication, a heightened consecration, where we draw back from legitimate things to give more time to the Lord in order to receive more from him in that special season. So I said, well, if Daniel was on a 21-day fast to receive the vision, I ought to be in the same heightened kind of dedication to understand the vision the man received. So I said, okay, I'm going to do it. Shared it with my wife, Diane. She goes, hey, I'll do it with you. Let's do it. I said, well, you know, we only got a few small windows, so we got to start Monday with our normal GBF fasting that we're doing Monday. She goes, I'm in. Well, I started thinking about some of my friends. I thought, Alan Hood, he's going to say, hey, man, I want to do it too. And Wes and Misty and Daniel, just on and on and on. And I thought, these guys are going to want to say, hey, I'm going to be a part of this. So I thought, okay, I'll just give a little tester, and I throw the word out. So I sent an email to a few leaders. We got a couple hundred leaders in this spiritual family, and I just picked a few of them, a few of the worship leaders and a few of the department heads, and I just threw it out there and said, hey, what do you think? And within a few hours, I had about 50 responses. I mean, it just instantly. I mean, Alan was the first one within a minute and a half. I'm in. He goes, awesome. This is God. Let's do it. Well, the others, I got them such a positive response. We'll make it work. We'll make it work. Hey, call it. Let's do it. I thought, okay, let's man a few of my friends. Let's do this. Well, all my friends have friends. And they have friends. And so it started just kind of growing. And I thought, oh, let's just do the whole thing, an unprepared start a fast on Monday, and let's just see what happens. And the response I received from so many is, we want to do it starting Monday. And a lot said, we need to wait a week. But I think there was a kind of a wholesale response, and just kind of, I said, let's do it then. And so, I apologize for the late notice, but it seems to be the sort of thing that's on the Lord's heart. It's interesting. Four different families have communicated to me in the last, just in the last day or so. They said that they were going to go on a 21-day Daniel fast starting Monday anyway, with no knowledge that it was stirring in my heart or that anybody else was stirred. So four different people had the same dates for a Daniel fast. So I thought, hey, let's do it. But I don't want people who are feeling frustrated and left out saying, man, there's no possible way this will work. Give me a notice and I'll do this with you. So I apologize for you, but we're going to go ahead and go forth with this and just participate in any way that seems right and seems practical to you. Paragraph C, Daniel chapter 10, verse 2 and 3. Daniel says, now this is the most detailed, longest open vision about the end times in the whole Bible, that an angel is presenting to a prophet on the earth. Daniel said, I was mourning for 3 full weeks. So note that this 3-week fast, this 21-day fast, it's not just a modification of our diet a little bit. People have this idea that the Daniel fast is whatever you can fit in a blender is a Daniel fast. But it's more than that. It's not a Daniel diet. It's a true fast. And Daniel was in a place of mourning. And this mourning in verse 2, which later in verse 12, the word that's used is humbling. Daniel humbled himself. He's mourning or humbling himself. And what that means is he's laying aside legitimate God-ordained pleasures and activities that in the normal routine of life, he's laying them aside for a short season because of his hunger and his desperation to encounter God or to see a breakthrough of the Lord's purpose. And so fasting is not just a Daniel fast isn't kind of a slight modification of food, just kind of liquids only and business as usual. No, it's drawing back from normal activities for a heightened focus of dedication, of obedience, but even time with the Lord. And it's a real fast. Daniel was in his 80s. He had a full-time job in the king's court. And when he went on this fast, he had a few vegetables, maybe in terms of our day and age, maybe a little spinach, maybe a little bit of rice or something, just a little bit to maintain his strength. It was not just a mildly reduced or modified diet. It was a real fast. And the reason that God calls us to fast, again, it's this heightened focused dedication to the Lord and of seeking him. And what happens is that our spirit is tenderized, our heart is made more sensitive to receive from the Lord in seasons of fasting. Now, I find that in the actual fast itself, I don't feel usually that much, I don't normally feel more tenderized during the fast. It's after the fast is over. Because what happens is during the fast, often your body is on a bit of a detox mode and you're a little bit weary and you're not feeling that great. You think, hey, you know, what is this all about anyway? I thought this was supposed to matter. Well, I have good news for you. It really does matter because the Lord is listening and the Lord's responding. And there's even an increase of angelic activity, which we're going to see in just a moment. And the tenderizing often comes after the fast is over. Well, he said here, I was mourning. Again, this spirit of desperation. I have to encounter God more. I have to see a breakthrough. Times are desperate. I ate no pleasant food. We're going to break that down in a few moments, what no pleasant food is. No meat and no wine came into my mouth for 3 whole weeks. Okay, look at paragraph D in verse 11. Now Daniel gives a kind of a quick overview of what happened on the fast. And every one of the points that he makes here, each one of them have many other points that go along with it. First, in verse 11, this mighty angel suddenly appears to him. This unnamed angel, but he's a mighty angel of great stature. And he says, Daniel, the Father wants me to tell you personally that he loves you. You're greatly beloved in his sight. And one of the reasons this is significant is because in the context of a Daniel fast, one of the issues is to encounter the love of God. I mean, can you imagine an angel appearing to a man and saying, I'm coming directly to tell you, God says you're greatly beloved in his sight. What a remarkable reality. Now, I don't know how many of you are going to have an angel appear in this fast and tell you something like that. But I know that in the written word of God, the Holy Spirit will it's part of his plan to speak to us, consider and to understand how dear we are to God and how God feels about us. That's a part of a Daniel fast. There's a personal dimension, not just a breakthrough dimension for other cities or nations, etc. Verse 12, then the angel went on to say that from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself, the angel says 21 days ago when you started, he goes, your words were heard. And when it says your words were heard, it means by God the Father. God heard your words, which means, I mean, God hears everything. But when the Bible talks about God hearing your prayers, it means that he hears with approval. That the Lord is saying, yes, I agree, and yes, I'm going to answer. I'm going to answer, yes. The answer is yes. The remarkable thing is that verse 12, the angel says, from the very first day of the fast, the Father was approving. He was saying, yes, we're going to answer this man's prayer. And then the angel makes this startling statement. He goes, I have come because of your words. Can you imagine that born-again believers, we can say words to God in prayer, and because we say things, angels increase their activity in terms of the prayer that we're praying. The idea is if Daniel did not say those words, and I don't mean there's some magical words that you say, but just the idea of prayer. If Daniel would not have been praying, the angel would not have come. There is a dynamic cause-effect that's going on. In this 21-day fast, more is going to happen in the spirit realm, and even in the natural realm, it will be manifest. More will happen because we do this than if we don't do this. That's just what the Bible makes clear. It's relevant what we're doing. It's worth the hassle and the burden of doing it, is my point. Now, again, my point of that isn't the person who doesn't have any notice going, wait, you just canceled me out. That means I'm lost. I'm just a nobody forever. No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying those of you that it does work, it does matter because there's a mundane, there's a routine, there's even a difficulty in it. And I want you to know, angel activity will increase because we're doing this. I want to just be really definitive about that. Then in verse 13, Daniel now describes what happens in the realm of the spirit when people pray and fast. Now there's a lot of insight in one small verse here. A lot of implications. And there's much more that happens in the spirit than what's described here in verse 13. But verse 13 gives us an idea of the type of things that take place in the spirit realm when we fast and pray. The angel tells Daniel, the prophet, the mighty angel says that the demonic prince that's over the kingdom of Persia. Now we know Persia is modern day Iran. He goes, the demonic prince that's over the leader and the geographic area of Iran. This demonic principality, which is a high ranking demon, has been opposing me. This angel said, I've been trying to come to you, but in the realm of the spirit, there's so much demonic and angelic activity. This demon and his forces undoubtedly are implied in here. They withstood me, and I actually couldn't get to you. Now we say, how does that work? I don't know how it works. We just know there's this dimension is true. We don't have to know all the details and break it all down beyond what the Bible does, but we know that demonic hosts can resist angelic hosts, and the prayer of the saints on the earth, the balance of what happens, is at least a part of it, is in the hands of the praying church. And this angel said, I was withstood. I couldn't get to you. They were resisting me. But you kept praying. And the Father heard your prayer. And the Father, he sent Michael the archangel, and probably with a host with him, who knows. I assume there's the lesser rank and file angels that are involved in this conflict as well. Michael the archangel came to visit as well. And Michael came and helped me dislodge this demonic power and its cohorts or forces from influencing the demonic agenda upon the nation of Israel. And we moved these demons out of the way, this angel said, with Michael's help. And then the purpose of God will go forward. There's this dynamic interaction in the realm of the spirit of angels and demons that are the angels are responding to the prayers of the saints. Now, again, we don't need to know all the details and nuances of that, but it's important to know that Paul says in Ephesians 6, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. It's not just one king against another king in a national conflict. He says, we don't wrestle. It's not king against king. They think it's king against king in their armies. But he said, actually, it's demon powers energizing those kings. There's demon powers that are affecting those cities and those nations. That's what we're wrestling with when we offer simple prayers. I mean, the Bible prayers actually have that impact in the realm of the spirit. It's a remarkable reality. Now, someone asked me, we had a question and answer time last night after the Saturday night service for about 30 minutes. A lot of folks asked questions about fasting, and if you want to see that, we have it archived on the website. If you want to watch that, we have lots of different questions. And one question is, what's the difference between the angels' activity and the Holy Spirit's activity? And my answer is very clearly, I have no idea what the difference is. And it surprised the young guy. I said, I don't even care what the difference is. It's under the authority of Jesus, and it doesn't matter to me which it is. It's all one big reality, whether angels or the Holy Spirit, you know, I don't even know. I just know that the increase of the kingdom goes forward, and the activity is substantial and real in the realm of the spirit, and it's manifest in the natural realm in God's timing. Now in verse 13, the idea is this, that over the governments of the earth, all the governments of the earth, the big positions down to the little positions of government, you know, to the local governments from the national governments, there are demonic powers assigned to the geographic region of that government and to the individual people in that government. Demon powers are seeking to influence the region and to torment and influence the actual leaders. But also, angels are assigned to those regions as well and to those leaders, again, in the combination with the Holy Spirit. And the church praying actually increases the activity of the kingdom in the realm of the spirit. Now, again, we don't have to understand how it all works to know that the reality works. And it's important to know the reality works because our prayers matter. There's a lot that's in the balance when we pray. Verse 14. Then the angel went on to say, he goes, Daniel, I've come to make you understand what's going to happen to your people in the end times. Now here's Daniel, 500 years BC. This angel says, I'm going to give you information about what's going to happen to Israel 2,500 years from now. I want you to have that information. I want you to record it. And I want the people of God to draw on that information throughout history and particularly in that hour when these events unfold on a global level. I mean, it's a remarkable reality that God has given us this kind of information 2,500 years ago through a prophet so that it's not just information some man claimed a few decades ago when he looked at the political landscape and just kind of added a few of his own ideas to the prophecy. But this was given 2,500 years ago with no knowledge of the current situation. And I'm telling you, the vision that Daniel received here in Daniel 10, 11, and 12 is the most detailed, it is the longest open vision about the events that will transpire related to the destiny of Israel, the conflict of Israel, and the transition of planet Earth to the age to come, affecting all the nations. Beloved, this information is profound and relevant and very, very precious. Then verse 19, the angel says, yeah, I want to tell you again. He puts bookends on this vision. He goes, I want to tell you again. You're loved of God. Though God's using you to pray and to receive, pray for breakthrough in his own generation and to receive revelation for another generation, he's saying you have to know that's not the whole story, what's happening on the earth. Part of the storyline is you're dear to God, Daniel. Now God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loves every individual on the earth. So when the Lord says that he loves believers because of their dedication, he's not talking about the general sense of which God loves the whole world, every individual. What the Lord's saying in a practical sense here said he loves Daniel's lifestyle. He loves his choices. God's saying, I love your dedication, Daniel. The way you seek me, the way you value my words, the way you care about what I care about, I love that about you. And in that sense, he's telling Daniel, you are beloved to me. You're dear to me. Your heart is dear. Your choices, your sacrifices, the way you press through when others give up and give in, that moves my heart and it's dear to me. That's what he's saying here. Now, unless you have a negative attitude like I did about Daniel fast, it's based in arrogance and being uninformed, but I admit that, but I've had a negative attitude. I thought a Daniel fast, come on, let's do a real fast. And so in my early years, you know, I was a purist. I would only fast on water and coffee, a total purist. Let the reader understand. But anyway, and I said, I don't go for these Daniel fasts. Well, if you read Daniel 10, things shifted in the spirit. Michael the archangel showed up, and the longest, most detailed open vision of the end of the age came. That's not bad for a Daniel fast. My point is, don't have that uninformed, arrogant attitude that I was so familiar with related to a Daniel fast. A Daniel fast is real, but also, don't see a Daniel fast as, again, anything you could fit into a blender as a Daniel fast. It's a real fast. I mean, a Daniel fast is a call to fast food. Now, I don't mean fast food. I don't mean it's not a call to go to McDonald's. That's not what it is. But it's a call to really to fast food. And Daniel ate a very restricted, modified amount of food because he's in his 80s. He has a full-time job in the king's court. And he said, to maintain my strength, so in today's situation, maybe he had a big bowl of spinach in the morning, a few almonds in the afternoon, some broccoli at night. Beloved, that's a real fast. You do that for a day or two, maybe for a first day or two, you think, that's not a big deal. You do that 21 days, you'll know you're fasting. You know, I know some people, again, their view of a Daniel fast is just almost anything besides meat. And I know guys that have gained 10 pounds on a 21-day Daniel fast. You know, they say, hey, I don't know what happened. It's the devil. I said, it's not the devil. It's you breaking your friendship with Dairy Queen. That's what did it. It had nothing to do with the devil. Look at Roman numeral 2. Some of the practical details. Well, we're starting tomorrow. Starting tonight at midnight. We're going for 21 days, Monday to Monday. Or if you say, I can't get it together between now and then, too many things going on, start the next Monday and jump in with us. Why? Well, we'll look at that more on page 3, but to encounter the Lord, to gain understanding, and to contend for a breakthrough. Paragraph D, I'm encouraging people in your small group times, whether you're meeting in a friendship group or at, you know, we have 85 departments in the IHOP missions base, and if you're in a department meeting or just a few friends having a coffee and a social time together, take one of the chapters out of the 12 chapters of the book of Daniel, read it for 5 minutes and discuss it for 10 or 15 in your normal meeting, meaning in family gatherings as well. Add this dimension of the book of Daniel into any time you gather in small group with believers. And again, in our context, in the missions base, so the department had a worship team meeting, just pause a minute, read one chapter and discuss it for throughout these 21 days that are following. Paragraph E, what's the main point? The main point of a fasting of food is also to spend much more time before the Lord in prayer and in the Word. Now, paragraph G, the purpose of a biblical fast is foremost a spiritual purpose. Now, there might be some health benefits of a Daniel fast. Well, there are undoubtedly. But you don't want to reduce this to a, hey, you know what? I need to lose 10 pounds. I feel a little sluggish anyway. I could use a cleanse. I could use a little health boost. And so I think I'll do this Daniel fast. But I'm not going to let some things go and engage in a deeper way with God. Beloved, that's a Daniel diet. That's not a Daniel fast. And my point isn't to say that to put anybody down. My point is to say there is a real model of a fast here in Daniel 10, and it really had an impact in the realm of the Spirit, and it's that model that we want to get as close to as possible. We don't want to just say we went on a modified diet. We want to actually engage with God in a way that shifts things in the realm of the Spirit. Paragraph at the top of page 2. Well, I sent out this, I'm guessing 40, 50 leaders, just again, there's hundreds. I just randomly picked some leaders and said, hey, what do you think about this? On Thursday, would you even be open to do this sort of thing? And again, almost all of them instantly responded yes. But I said, I'd like you to add 3 more commitments into the fasting of food. Commitment number 1, this is to these are IHOP staff people where it's our vocation. It's part of our job to be in the prayer room 2 prayer meetings a day. That's part of literally our occupation as intercessory missionaries. So I asked them, add a prayer meeting a day to your normal routine. Instead of 2 prayer meetings a day, which is 4 hours, add a 3rd one. Draw back on some things, cancel some meetings, draw back from normal godly things, things that are blessed of God in everyday life, and give more time to the Word and prayer for 21 days. Now, there are many people in our spiritual family that aren't a part of the IHOP staff, and I'm asking you to add 1 prayer meeting a day to your normal routine. And you might say, well, I don't have a prayer meeting every day. Good, then add 1, make it 1. Take an extra hour or 2, and you don't have to drive to the prayer room to do it. If you're close by, come, but if you're on the other end of town, you say, I'll lose more time driving there. I'd rather read the book of Daniel and pray. Then do it at home, do it wherever. And we have friends all around the world that are jumping in with this. Just take that, add a prayer meeting a day to your normal routine of what you normally do, because a fasting is a heightened and increased activity of prayer. Number 2, I encourage everybody for the days they fast, 21 days, 14 days, they would read the book of Daniel every day in that fast. It will take you about 1 hour to read the book of Daniel. If you read it at fairly slow pace, you can read it in an hour. The first 6 chapters are historical. They're 6 one-chapter episodes of Daniel's life. And by the way, all 6 of those episodes are not just something Daniel did. They're actually a picture of different situations that will be happening at the end of the age when the Lord returns among his people. So all 6 of those historical snapshots are actually prophetic forecasting of situations that the church will face in the generation the Lord returns. So those 6 stories are amazing and they're relevant. Well, the first 6 chapters of Daniel are historical. They're episodes in his life. The second 6 chapters of Daniel, the final 6, are 4 visions. And those visions are all about what's going to happen to Israel, her destiny, her conflicts, what's going to happen to the people of God, and how God is going to transition the planet to the age to come. I mean, this is relevant to everybody that's living in that hour. So you say, I don't really know the book of Daniel. Well, that's kind of one of the reasons we're doing this. You read those 12 chapters once a day. Whenever you're in a small group setting, best that you can, or even a family gathering, take one of those chapters, discuss it for a few moments. What will happen? There will be this heightened awareness and a heightened sensitivity to the truths represented in the 12 chapters of the book of Daniel. And what will happen is, though you might not know all the details and what all the symbols mean, But you'll be able to enter into the conversation. Then at the end of the month, I'm presenting this 10 one-hour sessions on the book of Daniel. We're going through it verse by verse. And you don't have to go to that. We can't fit everybody in the room anyway. So you don't have to go to that, but you could check out the notes on the internet. You can archive it and you can check into that at the end of the month. But here's what's going to happen. In the next number of months, the conversation in our spiritual family about the book of Daniel and the episodes in his life and his four visions, they're going to begin to increase. And I want you to at least join into that conversation, whether you do this fast in a major way or whether you're involved in that with that teaching at the end of the month. But enter into the conversation because it's a part of what God's doing here with our spiritual family. Number three, commitment. I asked the leaders and they all said yes. All the ones that responded. I'll do all three of these in addition to the fast. That though for 21 days or 14 days, whatever it is, that we would fast media entertainment. Whenever it's media, not work related. That even normal media and entertainment, there's good and bad of all that kind of stuff, but I'm saying we abstain from all of it unless it is overtly biblically related, meaning maybe your family gets together and watches a movie on the life of Jesus or the life of Moses, something like that. I'm talking about overtly biblical. If not, you're going to abstain from all the entertainment and recreation sort of things like that for this 21 days, and you're going to say, we're going to give that extra time to reading Daniel, talking about it, and talking to the Lord and crying out to Him. Roman numeral 3. Well, all of our leaders said, yes, we're going to do that. So I'm inviting you to add these three commitments also to the fasting part. Number one, add an extra prayer meeting a day to your normal schedule. Number two, read the book of Daniel. And number three, embrace this media fast, again, in as much as it's not related to your work. Roman number three, what is a Daniel fast? There are two primary scriptures related to the Daniel fast in the book of Daniel. Chapter 10, verse 3, Daniel said, I ate no pleasant food, I ate no meat or no wine entered my mouth for the whole 3 weeks. Then in Daniel chapter 10, verse 12, Daniel chapter 1, verse 12, for 10 days, Daniel and his friends, they ate only vegetables and water. But when you look at the Hebrew word for vegetables there, I got this from several different sources. It is not the common word used for vegetables, but it's a word that it speaks of that which grows from the seed. So it actually involves more than vegetables per se. And you can read that just on your own. Let's look at paragraph B. So though there's no definitive final list of what foods are involved in a Daniel fast, what foods are not involved. Some people, they really want that list. You know, some guy asked me, can we eat things with preservatives in them? I go, I don't know. You know, preservatives, I can't find that anywhere. I don't know. That's up to you. You figure it out. And so my point being, it's not so definitive, but I believe that there's a common consensus of people that have studied this over the years, and I'm just giving you kind of the common feel, and this is the approach we're taking here as a spiritual family. It's eating in strict moderation. Again, it's not just changing our diet and eating the same amount. It's a real fast. It's a true fast. A fast that you'll feel. And again, a fast at the end of the day, we end up with a tenderized heart and we're more sensitive to the spirit. And there's an increase of angelic activity in a fast as well, and the activity of the Holy Spirit. So vegetables, fruits, whole grains. Someone asked me, you know, is whole grains, is that bread? Are there donuts that are whole grains? I go, no, we're not talking donuts. Anyway, you can read the rest of that list. Paragraph C, many agree, and again, this is just the posture we're taking, though we understand it's not definitive, all of this being clearly defined, but it's just kind of the posture that's commonly agreed upon by many, that he abstained from meat, sugar, dairy products, other people add fried foods, probably it's true, wine, and pleasant foods. And the pleasant foods speaks of that which enhances the flavor of food. The idea is Daniel wasn't just trying to stay away from his favorite foods. He was approaching like a water fast, but he said, I'm 80 and I work a full-time job. I'm going to have maybe a little broccoli in the morning, a few almonds in the afternoon, a little spinach at night. I'm really on a fast. I'm not enjoying food in the God-ordained way that we're called to enjoy food. I'm just ingesting some food to maintain a strength in order to fulfill my responsibilities. And even then it's fulfilling them in a reduced capacity. So my point is, it's a real fast. People said, well, when I go on a Daniel fast, I feel nothing. I go, well, if you just slightly change your diet and you take the same amount of calories, of course you're not. But that's not what Daniel did. He really fasted for real. He took the most moderate amount, barely to keep his strength maintained, to even to do his job again, even in a reduced way. Paragraph D, I'm going to say again, I've already said it. Biblical fasting is to abstain from food for spiritual reasons. If you're only doing it for health, which is good, that's a great reason, but that's a Daniel diet, that's not a Daniel fast. It's about more time with God and a heightened dedication in your walk with God and for the kingdom purposes. Paragraph E, it's not just a diet. We reduce the type and the amount of food, and we increase the time we spend with the Lord. Top of page 3. Let's look at the 4 purposes of this Daniel fast. Number 1, paragraph A, to personally encounter the Lord. This is a time to renew our relationship with the Lord. You know, some people, they pray and fast for the breakthrough of God's purpose for others, for their family or the city or the nation or Israel, and that's good. But the Lord would say, it's not enough that you labor for a breakthrough for others. I want your heart. I want you. I don't want you just to labor for me. I actually want you. So at the beginning of every fast, the first concern is the intercessor in their relationship with the Lord, not just the purpose that the intercessor is contending for. Daniel 9, verse 3. Daniel said, I set my face towards the Lord. And this is the posture. We're turning our face to God. We're turning away from other things, even legitimate things. It's a heightened focus on the Lord. Paragraph 1, Daniel 9, verse 20, he confessed his sin. This is an opportune time to review our life and to settle some unsettled issues. The next 21 days, this is the time. Maybe there's a big struggle. The Lord says, let's you and I settle that. Break your agreement and settle it with me that you're going to renounce that and you're going to walk away from that issue. But then there's the many lesser issues. The little foxes, the Song of Solomon calls them, the little compromises. The nickel and dime areas of compromise about complaining, our speech, the way we spend time and money in small ways. The Lord says, let's settle those too. Let's come all the way like you used to walk with me. Let's reestablish that like you had with me in the days former in your spiritual life. Paragraph B. Second purpose, it's a prayer for breakthrough for Jerusalem. Now you'll notice in Daniel's 4 visions, In the last 6 chapters, there's 4 visions. All of them are Jerusalem-centric. God's end-time purpose is centered around a city, the city of Jerusalem. Now, Daniel lived in Israel till he was about 15. Nobody knows exactly, but as a teenager. So it's about 70 years almost that he lives in Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq. My point is, he spent 70 years of his life in Iraq. Jerusalem is not his hometown. He doesn't have good memories in Jerusalem, you know, kind of all of his buddies hung out and where great things happened. No, Jerusalem was in turmoil in those years, even as a kid, when he was in the land of Israel. But he's 70 years in another land. Here's my point. He's not just homesick for a familiar city. He has a revelation of the centrality of Jerusalem in God's end time plan and God's eternal plan. This is not a guy that was just fond of Jerusalem because he grew up there. This is a man who has a revelation of the significance of Jerusalem and God's eternal plan. So you find that all four visions, Jerusalem interfaces in all of the end time visions of what God's doing, directly or indirectly, it's a part of it. Now, I remember 30 years ago when I first came to Kansas City, my first conversation with Bob Jones, he told me, "You're going to be involved with a group of singers and musicians. You're going to be over in Grandview." At that time, we were in Overland Park, most of you know. And I'll tell more of this story and give some more details at the all-staff meeting just here at this coming Tuesday at 1 o'clock. And again, you're welcome to web stream in. We're going to archive it. I'm going to tie in some of our prophetic history and some other information about it that relates to this Daniel fast. But anyway, Bob Jones came to me and he said, "You're going to be praying for Israel and involved with a whole movement of millions around the world praying for Israel." I said, "Oh my." He goes, "Do you ever pray for Israel?" I go, "Never. I never think about Israel. I never pray for Israel." He says, "Well, you're going to, I assure you that. You're going to." And over the years, the Lord, through his word, has made it so clear. It's not just about one city among cities. This is called the city of the great king. And the Lord is going to cause the battle surrounding the city of Jerusalem, which is, I believe, the premier battle in the spirit realm right now for control over the city of Jerusalem. That's a big subject. I got a little bit here on the notes you can read on your own. But the Lord is calling the whole body of Christ worldwide to be loyal to him and engage in the battle for Jerusalem. So if you're one of those majority who come and say, "You know, I appreciate the prayer room, but I don't get this Israel thing," you want to say to yourself, note to self, take time to get the Jerusalem thing. It's central to God's end time purpose for the whole body of Christ, whatever nation you're in. Paragraph three, Psalm 122. There's a blessing promised for anybody that prays for Jerusalem, for God's purpose in Jerusalem. Beloved, this is a very kind thing that God did. God gave us a mandate, I'm talking about as a spiritual family, as a movement, to pray for Jerusalem. I didn't even like the idea, but when I found out later, there's a God-ordained blessing that's tied to that mandate. It's like the Lord saying, "I gave you a mandate that brings an added blessing to it. You are blessed that I gave this to you. Engage with it and learn what it's all about." Paragraph C, we're going to pray for our families, for our churches. We got groups all around the world joining in with us on this. We're going to pray for our nation. I mean, you know, our nation is in crisis on many levels. We are in a moral crisis, that's accelerating so rapidly right now, where there's a major attack from hell on the biblical view of the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage, and the sanctity of sex. There is a wholesale attack from hell, and that attack is actually being even supported by many believers in the body of Christ, and many pulpits in our nation are being very soft and very neutral about this wholesale attack. I mean, the whole issue of the gay agenda and the assault that is on the biblical view of the sanctity of marriage and sex. Many churches, I mean, they don't even care about the gay agenda. They have this new defined meaning of what being a welcoming church is. And we're a welcoming church, which means we're not taking a stand on anything so that everybody's welcome. We stand for nothing. Come one, come all, we're filled with love. You give that 5 or 10 years, there will be so much moral decay in the church. Beloved, that's where the church is going right now. We need a major breakthrough in the church and in our nation and our families right now. And things like a Daniel fast are critical. Critical. Top of page four. This is another thing that Daniel did, which is new to some people in our spiritual family. Doesn't connect with him. Daniel was seeking for greater understanding. And he was looking for specifically understanding of God's end time purpose. Not just greater understanding of life in general, like the book of Proverbs. That's good. That's biblical. It's good to get general understanding about life. Book of Proverbs. I love it. But Daniel was talking about something specific. All four of his visions, he was seeking for supernatural understanding about the unique dynamics, positive and negative, that will happen in the generation when the Lord returns and the planet is transitioned to the age to come. Now, part of our mandate as a spiritual family is the forerunner spirit, which takes these unique dynamics, the positive ones and the negative ones, and seeks to understand them and proclaim them. And the purpose being, paragraph 3, so the body of Christ is equipped so they don't become fearful by the events, or they don't become deceived by the events, calling evil good and good evil. I mean, there's a counterfeit justice movement that's going on, and a lot of the body of Christ is magnifying it and rejoicing in it, and it's a counterfeit. It's rooted in hell. They don't know the Bible about the end times. The body of Christ isn't supposed to be confused by this intensity of the good and the glory of God, the power of God, nor the intensity of the negative. Or not to be offended by God at it. I thought you were a God of love. Why is this happening? The Lord says, I'm removing everything that hinders love. That's why I'm doing it. Don't be offended at me. Or the body of Christ is not to be seduced by the sin that's escalating and increasing. These five negatives, the Lord's saying, if you understand my plan and you make sense of it, before it unfolds, you will be prepared to respond rightly in every one of these. Beloved, the generations before me handed me, in my generation, when I was in my 20s, very little information upon the end time plan and the end time scenario. Very little information. I want to hand my grandchildren and their children a lot more detail. I don't know if I'll see the Lord's coming in my lifetime. I really might, but I might not. But my guess is they will, or their children will, and we want to give them clarity and understanding. Last point, Roman numeral 4, the overview of the book of Daniel. 6 chapters, this is just a little grid you can look at on your own, are historical. Paragraph B, 6 chapters are prophetic, the 4 visions. You can look at that when you read through the 12 chapters day by day, so you can be a part of that dialogue that's going to be increasing in our community. Amen and amen. Let's stand.